Hello and welcome to Car Talk. Thank on you. National Public
Pleasure
Radio.
Pleasure for me to be here.
With us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. And we're broadcasting this week from the construction division here at Car Talk Plaza. As I've mentioned over the last few weeks, months, years, the hate mail division is completely out of room. 75,000 square feet just isn't enough anymore to handle this tremendous volume of hate mail that my brother generates. You know, I meant to say that you really haven't done any ranting and raving.
You know,
that Preparation H really works, doesn't it?
Yeah, I was thinking of that just today, that I haven't been ranting and raving lately. I think in my dotage,
yes.
I am calming down and becoming a more serene person.
That lobotomy may have had something to do with it. Sure. Anyway, we've decided to build an all-new Car Talk Plaza.
Yeah.
And after extensive research into cafe standards and the like, and trying to determine where the espresso and cappuccino are served, we've chosen a site in beautiful downtown Harvard Square.
Mm.
Not to be confused with Harvard Square.
No, that's where Harvard University is. This is Harvard.
And the truth is the construction is actually going pretty well.
So what's the point of all this?
Well, I don't know.
Get to the point. What's the point? I mean, what is the point of all this? Why do we have to just have this rambling discussion about nothing? Get to the point. Where's my pen?
We're moving.
We are?
Yeah.
Yeah,
Car Talk Plaza is moving on October 1st, and we'll give you the new address for Car Talk Plaza next week. Won't that be exciting?
What, do we know it?
No.
Already? Doesn't have an address yet. I mean, that big lot that we bought.
Right.
We're putting up that huge building. Man, where did we get the money for that? Jesse Helms. It must be some kind of federal money, right?
I think so.
Yeah,
I think so,
excellent.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, I know you have mail to read.
I do, actually. I have. We seem to have raised, is the expression?
Some eyebrows?
Firestorm of
a
activity.
Firestorm,
here?
Really?
I mean, more mail. I don't even remember them saying this, but evidently last week or the week before, who knows when, I'll admit, said something about when you address, I don't even know what's correct there. When you put the address or address on a letter, that you don't have to put a comma. Like if you send it to Boston, Massachusetts, it's not Boston, comma, M-A-S-S. The post office wants you to do Boston and then the two-letter M-A. Woof, look at the mail I got here.
One from the Postmaster General.
I am sitting here listening in outrage to your bumbling explanation about the comma and the non-comma. That's from one guy. This is from another guy. Look at this.
Well, that could refer to almost any part of the show, though.
I was listening to you while delivering the mail on my route on Saturday.
Oh,
I am enclosing a reference card on how to properly address the mail. As you can see, the Postal Service frowns upon punctuation. Of course, we knew that. And I said that. But however, here's one from Shade Tree Mechanic.
There we go. I've been missing that.
Postal Service. It seems you have the Postal Service has formally and officially scrapped their requirement for the punctuation-free two-letter official state abbreviation for the bottom line in an address. The article went on to say that the Postal Service has no intention of announcing the policy change in the near future and was still distributing the obsolete printed instructions for the old address system.
Being?
Oof, means that you can use a comma after the city name, and we can use the old abbreviations. Well, here's a letter from who? Postmaster, United States Postal Service.
Now you're in trouble.
Yeah, he says that what we said was in fact correct. I shouldn't mention this guy's name.
No,
he'll be
shouldn't.
Out of work in no time. But the answer is yes, you put two letters and you don't even have to do any of that. Just put zip code. Forget about Massachusetts.
So that's the entire volume of mail that you have
no,
to
that
share?
No, that was the most mail about any one subject.
No, but you have nothing interesting.
I do have something interesting.
Well, we'll take a call in that case. 1-800-332-9287 or 617-353-6350. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Bob First. I live in Southington, Connecticut.
Hi, Bob.
I have an 83 Dodge Aries with about 103,000 miles on it.
Miraculous.
I drive it primarily back and forth to the train station to commute. It's all but about a mile and a half of the 56 miles I put on it each day is expressway driving. About a month or so ago, the power steering pump started leaking. Didn't know what was leaking at first, so I saw this oil in the garage, and eventually, after I figured out nothing else was leaking.
You garaged this thing?
Excuse me?
Never mind.
So I kept putting power steering fluid in it, and it kept spraying all over and leaking. So I was off work one day. I took it to the mechanic, and he said, it's leaking. We can put a new one on the next time you bring it in.
A new one what? A new hose?
A new. It was leaking out where the little pulley is on the front.
He needed a new pump.
Yeah, so he said, I need a new pump. And I said, well, what happens if I keep putting fluid in until I can get it back to you? He said, well, the fluid's flammable, so you don't want it flying on your hot engine, which made sense to me. But then I started thinking, well, what happens if I just let the fluid run dry?
Mm.
And since I'm driving on the expressway, just forget about the power steering.
Mm.
Will I hurt the car?
Bad idea. I hope you didn't try this.
Why not?
Why not? You know we tried it.
I know that you didn't try it, because if you had tried it, you wouldn't be calling us now.
No, he's tried it, haven't you, Bob?
Yes, I have.
Yeah, I know you tried it, because at highway speeds, you wouldn't even know you didn't have power steering.
That's right.
Yeah, it's great, isn't
it? Yeah, but what happens when you slow down to get to the train station?
Well,
he grunts a lot.
The only sharp turn I have to make is in and out of my driveway. And I don't have to parallel park because I get to the train station so early. I leave so late that all the cars are gone.
You've reached new heights for cheapness.
This is something my brother would do.
I mean, I thought I was cheap. But, I mean, your theory here now is, why do we need power steering? You're just going to go forever and not put any in.
Yeah, well, I hurt the car. I mean, I don't care about...
You couldn't hurt this car if you tried.
You will not hurt the car.
Okay.
There is nothing you can hurt, but... I suspected Bob a little bit as soon as I heard the fact. Do I understand correctly? You drive 56 divided by 2, which is 28 miles, to the train station.
That's correct.
And then you take the train to go to work from there.
That's correct.
In New York.
That's correct.
Jeez.
Whew. Wow.
They pay you well? That they just you can justify this long trip?
Pay him well? He can't even afford a lousy power steering pump. They pay him nothing. Why?
Are you a sanitation worker?
Why don't you get a job closer to home?
Well,
if the job is not even paying you enough to buy a power steering pump, then you have to be a cheapskate and not even throw a little fluid
in
there.
I understand. Bob has plenty of dough.
Oh, he's just...
No.
He's just frugal.
Bob has this car that's parked on the streets in New Haven 8 hours a day. Bob doesn't want a fancy car there.
Yeah, they won't know you have a new power steering pump, however, so you don't need a new car. But here's another alternative that you perhaps haven't considered. I don't know how much you wanted for the pump, but with the labor and everything, maybe $150 or so.
He was doing better than that.
$250.
No, he was doing $100.
Oh, $100. Oh,
come
on. Because what he said is he'd get one from
a junkyard. That's exactly what I was going to suggest. And you won't spring for a measly $100? That's why all of us mechanics are dying.
Come on, Robert. My God. I mean, the truth of the matter is you could probably go for some number of miles without any oil in the engine, too. You might as well drain that stuff out and see how far that will take you.
There is a small element of risk involved by
there
not
is.
Fixing it, and that is that if you had to really make a quick turn, unexpected.
Right.
See, all you I can tell, you're an accountant.
No, I'm an attorney.
Oh, jeez.
An attorney? And you're driving an 83 Dodge Aries?
You're running the risk of being disbarred if you drive this car any longer. You might come up for a reprimand.
That's the new car.
It's what?
That's the new car.
That's the new car.
You know, there was a survey. You must be aware of this. The survey that was done among lawyers recently?
What? Maybe when you tell me the results.
Well, here were some of the results as I remember them. First of all, they questioned attorneys about their various lifestyles and habits, and attorneys evidently drink liquor at about 5 times the rate of the average person. The percentage of attorneys who had more than 5 drinks a day was in the double digits. That was one. Second was...
Yeah, they did most of their drinking on the commuter train.
That I can believe.
Or in their cars without any power steering. Another finding that I remember was... my wife was telling me about this morning, as a matter of fact. That there was a very, very high degree of unhappiness among attorneys. For two reasons. One is that they found their jobs to be really extremely boring. And worse than that, not as lucrative as it used to be, because there are so many of you competing with each other that they found that they couldn't make the exorbitant livings that they were accustomed to. You didn't hear about this, huh? Well, they probably
But he's pondering it all now. He's taking all
it.
He's never going to fix that pump now.
That's right.
But you should fix it in the interest of safety, because even though your driving is very predictable, you make three lefts and two rights and you park all day, you may have to make an unexpected quick turn when you're driving at low speed.
Right.
And you mightn't be able to do it, and that's the reason you got to spring for the thousand.
Oh, yeah, you do.
And I'll spring for the $100.
Good
go
guy.
For the $100.
Okay.
All right, thanks for your call, Bob.
Thanks a lot.
See you later.
Bye-bye.
We'll be right back with the answer to the puzzler right after these very important messages.
This message comes from NPR sponsor BetterHelp. How we care for our minds affects how we experience life. So it's important to invest time and care into keeping them healthy. BetterHelp is online therapy that offers video, phone, and live chat therapy sessions, and you can be matched with your therapist in under 48 hours. NPR listeners get 10% off their first month at betterhelp.com/cartalk.
This message comes from NPR sponsor, the NPR Wine Club. Get the world of wine delivered to your home. When you join the NPR Wine Club, you'll receive stories behind every bottle and favorite NPR shows and personalities arriving in liquid form, like Tiny Desk Chardonnay and Planet Money Microface Cabernet Sauvignon. The NPR Wine Club is a delicious way to support NPR's programming. If you're 21 or older, uncork your special offer at nprwineclub.org. Hey, guess what?
What?
It's that time each week.
Yes.
That you dread.
Yes. Why? Because you say to me, it's time for the puzzler answer. Do you remember last week's puzzler? And I don't have to worry about it now because I know the puzzler's been on vacation. So there is no puzzle.
That's very good. That's very good. Yeah. There is a puzzle, though.
Oh.
You were close. You at least remembered that you were supposed to remember, but you didn't remember.
I didn't remember.
Well, that's too bad.
Was there really? The puzzler is back?
The puzzler is back in all of its glory.
And I forgot
In all of its mediocrity, the puzzler is back.
You mean last week you gave the first puzzler in months I can't remember it?
Of this young season.
God.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Are you ready?
Yeah, go ahead. Just give me a hint and I'll remember it.
I'll try to state it briefly because I know that nobody really enjoys these long, drawn-out restatements of the puzzle. It's bad enough. The original statement of the puzzler if it's a long ordeal.
Sure.
But when, you know, the time comes, people just want the answer. I mean, they don't want a lengthy explanation. They don't want a lot of rigmarole. They don't want a lot of beating around the bush.
All right, well, what is it?
A few months ago, this fellow came into the shop with some car. I don't remember what it was, but it was
You never remember what it was.
It was unimportant.
Unimportant. It was a car.
It was unimportant. The 1983 unimportant.
Yeah.
It doesn't really matter for the most part. Anyway, he said, I have a problem. The brake pedal goes to the floor. So I asked him, when does it do this? And he said, only when I step on it. When I don't step on it, it's great.
Yeah, well, that's good.
And I said, wise guy, you probably need a new master cylinder.
Yes, I remember this.
He said, no.
Already had that.
The guy down the street just put three new ones in, and that hasn't solved the problem. I guess they thought it was the master cylinder tool.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they put another one in, and another one, and another one.
Sounded like master cylinder.
I said, you must have a leak. No, they checked for leaks, and moreover, he said. Moreover.
I remember he used that word.
Yes.
Moreover.
The M word. He said, I haven't lost any fluid with any of the master cylinders, including the old one. I said, well, your brakes must be out of adjustment. No, they just did that. So I scratched my head and I said, yeah, maybe it's your proportioning valve. Too late. Sounds good, but...
They just replaced it.
Yeah. So I said, why don't you leave the car? He said, oh, you're not going to put another master cylinder in, are you? I said, no, we're not going to do that. Make sure he leaves first and then we'll put one in.
Just to make sure.
Anyway, he left the car and we did fix his car, but it didn't require fixing any of the brake components. Obviously, because, why? They had already been all replaced.
Of course, there was nothing else to do.
That was a big clue for us. We knew the problem was not in the brakes.
Yeah, but it represented a giant loss in profit.
It did. Here's what was wrong with this car.
The clue was, you didn't replace any of the brake components, yet fix the car. And
right.
The question is, what was wrong with it?
Yeah. It was a big clue that they had replaced all the brake pieces, and there was nothing else for us to do. Otherwise, we would have perhaps done the same thing. But what happens is this car, I said it wasn't unimportant what year it was, but it was an 80s car, and it had disc brakes like all cars have now in the front, and it had drum brakes in the back. And when he said the brakes were adjusted, he meant, of course, the rear brakes, because you don't adjust disc brakes.
No, you don't.
As the brakes wear down, they self-adjust because the pads are always touching the disc, unless something goes wrong with one of the wheel bearings. And what happened is the wheel bearing was so loose on one of his wheels that as he drove along, the disc would vibrate back and forth.
And push the piston back.
Push the piston all the way in. And when it did that, he had to make up that space. When he stepped on the pedal would go all the way to the floor.
No kidding.
Yeah, so we had to replace a wheel bearing or two. $800, I think it was. And that fixed his car. Eureka!
You know, that's a great puzzler, you know?
Yes.
That's one of the great puzzlers of all time.
Well, don't get carried away, will you?
Said you were going to start out with a little mediocre. You called that mediocre? I call that meteoric. Spelled M-E-D-I-O.
Okay. We have a winner?
Yes, we do. The winner of this puzzler is Catherine Ross, really?
No kidding.
She got nothing better to do? I thought she was like a big movie star. But she's got nothing better to do, and she has moved to Seattle, Washington. And for being so smart and having nothing else to do, she gets an autographed copy of our meteoric.
Oh, yeah.
Mediocre book. Kind of talk. And at least we will send it in a plain brown wrapper so nobody will know that she listens to us.
And we'll have a new puzzler coming up in the second half of today's show, so stay tuned for that. In the meantime...
Will it be as good as this one?
Better!
Good grief, Harry!
We'll take a call.
1-800-332-9287.
I didn't mean to.
1-800-332-9287. I just have to do it once in a while.
Go ahead.
To see if I remember it.
Do it again. Get it out of your system.
1-800-617-353-6350-9287. Hello,
you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Linda from Colorado Springs.
Hi, Linda. How are you?
I'm great.
Great. So are we.
Gee, great, huh?
No, I know you are.
Well, we didn't mean it in that sense. What's up?
Okay, my problem is I have a 1977 Datsun 280Z.
You're right, it is.
Mm. Is that a problem?
Well,
no,
not yet.
When I go down a hill, the inside of the car fills up with exhaust. If I roll down the windows, it's even worse. I've had my muffler checked, the exhaust system checked, and all they ever said was that there was a loose clamp, but I still have the problem. I mean, people look at me like, you can't be serious.
When you go down a hill, this only happens?
It's only when I go down a hill and if I let off the gas. And you can't just keep your foot on the gas and just go flying down the hill, so I have to, and it just fills up with exhaust inside my car.
Uh-huh. Okay. I've got it.
What?
No, I'm only kidding. I have 400 or 500 questions you have to answer first while I try to search for the
answer. Here's one question. How much rust does this car have?
No rust.
What do you mean, no rust? Colorado Springs has got plenty of rust.
Actually, it does. My car just started rusting last year, last winter, but it's really not bad.
Well, more important than that, how do you have the lift gate secured? With a piece of rope?
The
tailgate, you know.
No, it shuts fine.
It shuts correctly? You don't have it wired closed with coat hangers?
Like everybody else does?
Okay.
No, I don't. It shuts and locks just fine.
I suppose you haven't tried this because you mightn't have had the opportunity, but if you were to step on the gas going down a hill on the hill, you wouldn't get the smoke, I bet.
Right. If I step on the gas, it's fine, but around here, that's just not possible. You have to slow down.
Throw it into first gear and step on the gas.
I mean, it really fills up with smoke?
Not with...
Fumes.
No, not with smoke. Fumes.
Fumes.
Yeah, it really does.
Yeah, I suspect the fumes are from burning oil, because you'll often get a large oil consumption when the engine is not under load. In fact, it's very often the case you'll see a car driving along the highway, and you can almost tell when the driver takes his foot off the gas pedal, because you'll see, especially if it's an old jalopy. I see this all the time when I follow my brother
someplace. Follows me home.
He takes his foot off the gas, and I can tell him every time he's done it because it's accompanied by a large cloud of blue smoke, which has an odor to it. It's not a terribly unpleasant odor,
yeah,
but it's annoying. It's disconcerting, but it's not an awful aroma, is it?
This is really pretty strong.
It's pretty strong?
Yeah, pretty strong. It is.
Yeah.
But I don't see blue. You know, nobody's ever said that they see blue smoke coming out of the back of my car except in between shifts.
Right, well, that's the same thing. Coasting is like you have, it's the same situation you have.
As being between shifts.
Between shifts, exactly.
Hmm.
Hmm. Yeah.
And so, it probably is, in fact, coming in through the tailgate.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Through the hatch.
So you were right. Your problem is that you have a 1977 280Z.
Please don't tell me that. I love my car.
Yeah, I mean, what you need is a 2-foot extension on the tailpipe.
Out past the bumper?
Yeah, 2 feet back. That way, when the exhaust comes out, it won't get into the hatch.
No, you need to seal the hatch.
Well, I got better solutions than that. Here's the second solution. You know how semis have the exhaust going up?
With that little flapper on
a little flap on the top?
To keep tarantulas and stuff from crawling in there?
You could do that also, and that would keep it away.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Or you could buy a new rubber seal for the hatch, which is probably, since it's 100 years old, all crushed and worn out and beat up. And that's why the stuff is coming in, seriously.
Or you could buy a 300ZX.
Oh, I'd love to. Yeah. I'd love to.
My brother will lend you the money. He's got plenty. Yeah. You must have, I'm going to guess, 165,000 miles in this car.
Very close. I'm at 160.
Gee, that's 100. Good. How'd you do that?
Simple arithmetic.
Okay.
Yeah, but I dare say it's probably time for an engine rebuild. But if you can't take the fumes anymore.
Yeah.
Actually, after about 50 or 100 exposures to this, usually you wipe out enough brain cells that you don't notice anymore.
So she probably already reached that point. That's why she called us.
That's what it took.
Yeah, but
That's what it took. Had the problem for 6 years.
You may have to bite the bullet, Linda, and look for an engine rebuild if you like the car, or I suspect more likely a new car.
Yeah.
That's a bummer, isn't it?
I was really trying to avoid that. I know I was looking at probably next year. I had already been told that I may need an engine rebuild, but they never said it had anything to do with the exhaust.
Well, that's exactly what it does have to do with. I'm sure it does burn oil, too, huh?
It does a little bit, but I'm really faithful about changing the oil every 90 days, so.
90 days? Well, that's good. That's 3 months. That's what we recommend. Somehow it has an unfamiliar ring, 90 days.
My 2-foot extension on the tailpipe is a much cheaper solution to the whole thing.
You think that really will sound, but we'll
try it. Seriously.
Will I have to put a little red flag on the back so people coming up behind?
Maybe you can make a retractable one. An accordion thing. You know, what do you... Is it
See, my
good?
Brother has time for all this frivolous research because he doesn't work. Isn't that great?
Isn't it?
That's great.
Well, Linda, good luck, but I'm afraid you're going to need more than luck. You're going to need money.
All right.
Thanks for your call.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
More calls and a new puzzler coming up right after these messages. We're back so soon. It says, "Are we going? We come right back." I don't know how this happens. You're listening to Car Talk on National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're here to try to answer your questions. You notice I interjected that little try.
Well, we do try, but we can only do our best.
Hey, indeed. So we're here to answer your questions. Try to answer your questions, rather, about cars, car repair, and how to find good Chinese food in Harvard Square.
Mm.
We might not be able to relocate Car Talk Plaza to Harvard Square.
Why not?
Because of the paucity of Peking-style Chinese restaurants.
Oh, yeah, but can you beat Yung and Yi?
Yeah, no,
you can't. Are you kidding
not
me?
Not with a stick. No. Anyway, it's time for the new puzzler.
Already?
Yep.
The new puzzler. Yes, I happen to have a puzzler.
You do?
Yes. Now,
you don't want to use my puzzle?
You frequently have very complex puzzles with require great explanations, and you never can remember what kind of car it is. It's always a 1978 unimportant or irrelevant, right? This is a simple one, and you don't have to know much about cars, except a lot.
My feelings are getting hurt.
Here it is. Are you ready for this? The puzzler, and I'll get a pencil. Anyone, when we ask people to send in information or questions to us, we ask people to send them in on the back of a $20 bill.
Right.
Write your answer on the back of a $20 bill. Well, this puzzler has to do with the back of a $10 bill. On the back of a $10 bill is a representation of the United States Treasury Building in our fair city, Washington, D.C.
Yes, yes.
In front of that building, there is a car. Can't tell if it's parked or moving, but it's a car. The question is, and you can win big bucks for this, What kind of car is it? What year and make of car?
Can we give a hint?
That? Why?
Well, a small hint.
How small?
It's not a Japanese car.
And we can give a hint by saying that this car is more, as anyone looking at the back of a $10 bill would know, is more than 50 years old.
So is the Treasury Building.
Yes. Would have to be.
Well, it wouldn't necessarily. They could have superimposed.
Oh, no.
That's it?
That's it.
So brief. I mean,
so simple, easy, straightforward. No radida, no crusty, no crazy things, irrelevant.
I don't like it. It's
all
too
right.
Simple.
Well, the question is simple.
But the answer.
The answer,
is
however.
Elusive. All right, then I'll save my...
Now, what if someone
crummy
had an idea
puzzler
of what kind of car that was?
Oh, relativity till next week. Uniform wave theory. And,
oh, is that what it was? Let's do yours.
No, too late now. I'm going to go home and cry. If you think you know the answer to this crummy puzzler, you want to waste 29 cents on a guess, send your answer to Puzzler Tower, Crummy Puzzle Division, Car Talk Plaza, 630 Commonwealth Avenue, Boston,
our fair city, parentheses,
Ma, 02215. Hey, be sure to tune in next week, because next week we'll be announcing Car Talk Plaza's new address in our new fair city.
Big deal.
I know, big deal.
Who cares?
Nothing. Right? If you want to call us, the number is 1-800-332-9287. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
This is Carl from California.
Is that Carl with a C or Carl with a K?
Well, it sounds the same, but you can do it with a C.
All right.
A C. It sounds the same, but it isn't the same, is it?
Well...
I have a different picture of you if it's Carl with a C than I do if it's Carl
with
a
right.
K.
That's right. You know what? With the C, I see you with a bow tie.
Oh.
With a K, I see you with a rifle.
Uh-oh. Well, it's more towards the tie side.
More towards the tie side. All right, go spill your guts, Carl. Tell us what's on your mind.
Well, I've got a theoretical type thing.
We love these.
To do with engines.
Yeah.
I'm going to be building an aircraft, experimental aircraft. And instead of using an...
And you want engine advice from us? What are you, cracked?
Well, you see, airplane engines are so darn expensive. I want to put a car engine in it.
Oh, no. We know you're cracked.
You want to build an experimental airplane using an automobile engine.
Exactly. Now,
sure.
My question is, I know that cars have a rated horsepower, but we know that they never really run at that kind of horsepower. I'm wondering if there's any rule of thumb or a source that I can go to for finding the reliability of a car engine as you push it up towards its, you know, peak horsepower. Now, I've heard, and I don't know if this is rumor or what, but that, like, Subaru just ran one of their SVC cars around a test track for 24 hours at 120 miles an hour,
mm-hmm.
which sounds pretty reasonable.
Yeah.
What I'm looking for is something in, about the 150 horsepower range and trying to keep it in the same weight range as an aircraft engine, so, say, under 300 pounds.
Under 300?
Yes.
How long have you been in home there, Tom Dale,
Well, I figure some of these light fours should be able to match that now.
Yeah, I guess the slant six is out if you want to stay at the 300.
I was going to offer my Dodge Dartra. I mean, that's reliability.
In the interest of science, I think it would have been right.
It's certainly reliability. I don't know about the 150 horsepower.
What you want is you want an engine out of something like a Toyota Celica.
Right.
Yeah.
Something on that you know, magnitude.
Jeez, Carl.
Boy, this is not a theoretical question. This is a very, very difficult question.
You got all kinds of things worked in. You got ethics worked in here, and
we got sanity in question here.
We do have that.
Why do you want to do that? I'll give you the answer up front here. I have no idea what the answer to your question is.
Uh-huh.
I don't know of any vehicle that I would want to trust, any vehicle engine that I would want to trust up in the sky,
mm-hmm.
Especially at the limit of its power. You know, it's a
right.
torque limit.
I mean. And how
you plan
long?
To fly, like, far from home with this?
Well, I should plan on being a cross-country machine, yeah. Otherwise, I'd use my car.
Come on, Carl. Are you putting us on?
No, no, we're pretty serious about this.
Oh, we? You, this one, well, look, I can't give you any advice because I wouldn't want to be guilty of giving you any advice. But I certainly, I don't even want to wish you good luck. I don't even want to wish you the best of luck because I think this is a wacko idea.
Well, no, I don't think it is necessarily wacko because, you know, sometimes great things happen from humble beginnings.
I mean, how would you like it? The next flight you take out to California, you get on the plane and you're up in the sky and we're flying at 30,000 feet and the pilot says, hi, good afternoon, folks. Thank you for flying on Palmdale Airlines. We're flying at 30,000 feet in this fine Yugo flying machine. Right. I mean, how are you going to feel when that happens? You're going to be nervous and it's going to be Carl with a K who's flying the damn plane.
Well, you know, at least I'm using a regular airplane. I mean, I've seen pictures of flying cars that they did in the 50s.
Yeah.
You know, it's an inspiration.
Well, can I ask another? This is going to be like a stunt plane of any kind, is it?
Oh, no, no.
This is going to just fly with the wings always parallel to the ground.
Uh-huh.
Pretty much.
Yeah, just get up and go, you know, cross country.
You realize the obvious limitation that you have with an engine that has a crankcase. You can't fly the thing upside down. You're not going to be able to do any Immelmanns or anything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because it won't run upside down.
No, not even the Dodge Dart motors. Huh?
Even the Dodge Dartra. You turn the thing upside down and all the oil flows into the pistons, into the cylinders rather, and you're done for.
Huh.
And even if you go into a steep descent.
Which you probably are going to be doing with this thing.
Probably will do. Have you talked to anyone about this really seriously?
You're talking to us seriously.
I mean, have you talked to anyone smarter than us?
Well, I've found this organization called the Experimental Aircraft Association, and I'm going to be talking with them.
Mm-hmm.
But I figured since you were the gurus of automotive power, I would climb the mountain and come to the source.
Yeah.
Well,
or the radio towers.
Well, we're happy that you did, and we hope that we've lent some little bit of discouragement to you.
I will keep you appraised as to the events and happenings.
Thanks.
Okay, and in the meantime, I would increase the dosage of that medication that you're on.
See you, Carl.
Have a good day.
You
good
too.
Good luck.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Well, we do get them here at Car Talk Plaza, don't we?
I love it.
Well, another hour of your valuable time has been wasted listening to Car Talk.
Already?
Our producer
here.
Is Doug Berman. Gee, no adjectives with his name. That's just kind of just
Douglas
plain.
Q. Berman, that's it.
No, A. Douglas A. Berman.
Oh.
Our assistant producer and dean of the Department of Automusicology is Ken Rogers. Our engineer is the former Miss Milwaukee, Jennifer Loeb. Our technical advisor is Mr. John Lawler. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research.
Woo, that was Mr. John Lawler?
He had some guys waiting for me downstairs last week. And I told me that I better cool it.
Good.
Yeah, I saw
good choice.
Yeah, big guys. Guys with those hairy chests and the chains, the gold chains.
Yeah. Wearing full nunzios.
Full nunzios, yeah. Definitely. Yeah, okay. let me continue. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research. Our automotive medical researcher is Dr. Denton Fender. Our staff grammarian, maybe we can have some fun with these fictitious people. They won't be able to fight back. Our staff grammarian, our acting
fictitious.
Our acting philologist is I am Shirley Wright. Our director of long-range strategic planning is Kay Sarah, who I think, I'm not sure, I heard a rumor around the office.
Yes.
That she's about to marry Frank Sarah. Then she'll be who?
And she's going to keep her own name, obviously, but she wants also to take Frank's name.
Oh, she'll have a hyphenated name.
Hyphenated. They're going to call her
Kay Sarah.
Sarah.
Our transportation coordinator is Rick Shaw, the ubiquitous Rick Shaw.
Hmm.
The head of the Car Talk dining services is Charles Q. Charles Q?
Charles Q. We call him Chuck.
Oh, yes, Chuck Wagon, yes. The conductor of the Tappert Brothers Symphony Orchestra is Sludgy Ozauer. The manager of the Tappert Brothers Capital Depreciation Fund is Les Ismore. The chairman of the Car Talk Physics Department is Victor Analysis. Our chief legal counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is Hugh Lewis Dewey, known around town as Huey Louie Dewey. And we have to welcome a new member of our staff. Our staff geneticist is Gene Poole.
And also, I got a nasty letter here. Oh, dear Click and Clack, all these years as your switchboard operator and you still don't mention me at in the credits. Come on. Signed, Isabel Ringing.
We're Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. Thanks for listening and don't drive like my brother.
Don't drive like my brother.
See you next week. Bye-bye. This is NPR, National Public Radio.